gift of life, eternal life. We thank you, Jesus. Spirit of God. And just across this place, why don't you in your own way just thank Jesus? If you know him and you love him in this place, just say something personal. The greatest gift you can give to God is just your attention, your will, your relationship. We thank you that this season, this Christmas season, is about you, Jesus. But you do stop the world at this time and at this moment. And all over this planet, people acknowledge you and what you did for us. You're our Lord and Savior. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Amen. Beautiful. Well, you may be seated. I'm just going to continue as we stay in this place. Give the creative team a hand. Amazing. Well done, Messiah. Brilliant. You know, Christmas Eve. Powerful time of year, isn't it? Don't you think? I know it's a busy time of year. Who's been to more than one function in the last 2 weeks? It's just this time of year we all cram it in. But I think it's a great time of year. It certainly is an atmosphere that's different out there. It can be a little bit crazy in the shopping centre. Can be a little bit of aggro going on in the car park. But anyone experienced that? But on this Christmas Eve, let me start with a poem that I think we all know. Twas. It starts with Twas. Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would be there. Christmas Eve has a lot of mystery, has a lot of anticipation about it. We still have stockings for my 20-year-old and my 15-year-old because they've cottoned on to the fact that if they put the stockings there, they get filled with things. So we still have stockings over the fireplace, and they still do that. And obviously with Ava, she's going to be excited, and Aiden, going to be filled with goodies. But I want to talk about the night before Christmas, according to the real story of Christmas. And I know Santa, he captures quite a bit, and he might make an appearance here later on for kids. Captures a lot of attention, but the reality is the real story of Christmas is a powerful story. And some odd 2,000 years ago, and I want to focus actually on what heaven was thinking the night before Christmas. Is that all right? What Jesus was thinking the night before Christmas. Are you with me? Because I think it's powerful. There is so much power in Christmas Eve. There really is. The whole of heaven was anticipation for something that happened. Like, I know that we've got expectation because it's Christmas tomorrow and there's all this anticipation. You're going to have family and friends and presents and you know, obviously we'll celebrate the birth of Christ. But heaven, was anticipation. Can you imagine what the hush over heaven? Can you imagine the chaos that was going on, because they knew what was about to happen. And obviously, on a Christmas day, we've heard the stories about the angels and the shepherds and Caesar's decree that led Mary and Joseph to journey all the way to Bethlehem. And we know about the manger and the wise men. We saw some of that today. We even know about Herod's evil plan to try and kill every baby. And we know about the Christmas story. We know about the birth of Christ. But I wonder if you actually have heard about what heaven was thinking the night before Christmas. And the craziest thing is, we actually have a verse in the Bible where it actually depicts Jesus talking about the night before Christmas. Is that all right? Do you want to hear what heaven was thinking the night before Christmas? We hear a carol, or we hear the Santa Claus stories. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, we get this amazing passage where Jesus is quoted as what he was thinking about before Christmas. And it's a prayer from Christ. And this is the true Christmas story. And we know in Luke's version of Matthew's version, and we know the Christmas story, but in Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 5, to 7, we get the Christmas story from the lips of Jesus, told some 2,000 years ago. It was actually quoted from a psalm, a prophetic psalm that was spoken way before Christ was born. And this is it. Hebrews chapter 10 starts at verse 5. It says, "Therefore, as he was coming into the world, he said, 'You did not want sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me. You did not delight in whole burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then I said, "See, it is written about me in the volumes of the scrolls, I have come to do your will, God." This is actually an insight written from a psalm. It's quoted. Christ quotes it himself about what he was thinking before he came on Christmas Day. Now, I want to take out of this, because whenever you get anything that Christ has said, anything from the Word of God, there's so much meaning. And to understand today, here on Christmas Eve, what heaven was thinking about, what was important to God, I think becomes important to us. Amen? Because if we want to know the true meaning of Christmas, we want to know the true meaning of Christmas Eve even, we need to know what heaven was thinking and what Christ was thinking. So I want to draw some facts out of this. The first thing that we understand out of this is that Jesus did not begin at Bethlehem. Are you with me? This psalm was quoted before Christ was born. And we know in the Word of God, proven in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Jesus existed before he was born. Are you with me? So actually on Christmas Eve, there was a conversation in heaven. There was an understanding in heaven before actually he was born, because he was alive before that. Are you with me? And we understand that this is powerful for us to know and realize that when Christ allowed himself to be born, he knew what he was in for. So the second thing we understand from this passage here is he came to take away our sins. There's so many reasons why Jesus came. But what he emphasizes more than anything in this passage, when we get a glimpse of what heaven was thinking before the birth of Christ, the focus was on Jesus taking away our sins. Verse 5 says very explicitly, "You did not want sacrifice and offering." This is Jesus talking. He's talking about his heavenly Father. He said, "You did not want sacrifice and offering." You see, you've got to understand, before Christ's birth, the way the system worked, it's called the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. The only way you could get redemption for sin was you had to either offer a sacrifice of a bull or a goat or a lamb was sacrificed. So if my role as a pastor and a priest, I would spend all day sacrificing. Your sacrifices would come and I would kill them on behalf, and that would be a payment for the sin on your life. Are you with me? This is how it worked. Jesus actually changed everything. And what Jesus is saying here is Father God never actually liked that. He wanted to change it. Heaven had made a decision the night before Christmas. All heaven knew that there was going to be a change and that Jesus was going to be born. And a whole new system was going to begin. Are you with me? So there was a whole understanding that God knew that we needed something better than what we had. If you go up to verse 4 of the same chapter, you actually see it. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." So the life of Jesus was planned. He was part of the Trinity. This Christmas day is so special, so powerful, so miraculous, and Christmas Eve would have been with such anticipation right across heaven, simply because the whole of heaven, God, the Trinity, they all knew that everything needed to change, and it was all pointed out the life of Jesus. There's so much power in the life of Jesus. That's why today, even though as much as we commercialize Christmas and we focus on Santa Claus, I don't have a problem with Santa Claus. As long as you understand the true meaning of Christmas. Amen? If you don't understand the true meaning of Christmas, if you're in this place and you think Santa Claus is the true meaning of Christmas, then I have a problem. Because the reality is, Christmas is about Jesus. You drop down to verse 11 of the same chapter and it says, you can actually get the understanding. In this passage, it says, "Every priest stood day after day, ministering and offering the same sacrifice, time after time, which can never take away sins." So you had a whole complete system. Father God knew that things needed to change. Heaven knew that something needed to change. That the way that people were dealing with their sin wasn't God's heart. It wasn't God's way. And the night before Christmas, whole of heaven was anticipation of what was about to happen. Jesus was God's Lamb. That's why he's called the Lamb of God. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for all sin. And the whole of heaven, the Trinity, everyone knew that this price had to be paid. So when he was born, when Christ was born, when he took on human flesh, because he was God. Are you with me? He is God. Everything changed. Sure, it took 33 years for him to live his life and then die on the cross, but the reality is, from the moment he was born, everything was different. Amen? That's why it was so much wonder. There's so much anticipation. There's so much around Christmas, there's so much power that still exists around it because everything changed. See, Christ's birth was no afterthought. It was planned in heaven. God knew exactly what he was doing. It says in verse 5, this is Jesus says, he says, "You prepared a body for me." This is Jesus talking about his Father. He said, "You prepared a body for me." Now that means two things. Number one, it means that God prepared the body of an infant child for Jesus Christ, God, to enter into, but he also prepared a body for him to be laid on the cross for our sins. Amen? That's the power of Christmas. That's the anticipation that the whole world was looking for. That's what the whole of heaven. I don't know how long ago, 2,000 years ago, if this was the real Christmas Eve, can you imagine? Can you imagine what heaven would be doing right now? Waiting for the birth of of the Christ. The third thing that Jesus was thinking about, or heaven was thinking about before his birth, was that he came to do God's will. Verse 5, he said, "You did not want sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me. You did not delight in the whole burnt offering, sin offering. Then I said, see, it is written about me in the volumes of the scrolls, I have come to do your will, God." Jesus came to do the will of God. This was no accident. It was something that was planned out. It wasn't something they just decided on the moment. It's not like this conversation I wrote down. Now I want you, this is what God said, now I want you to go down there, be born of a virgin, be laid in a feeding trough, forgotten by the world, have Herod attempt to kill you, flee your parents to Egypt, grow up in Nazareth, be rejected by your own people, be hated, reviled, scourged, and then crucified. Jesus knew everything about what he was about to do because he was God before he was allowed himself to be incarnated into a man's body. Are you with me? Imagine if you knew the night before heaven, you leave heaven, you knew everything about your life, you knew exactly how it was going to roll out. You knew that you had to be that gift. You had to be that sacrifice. You were the one to do that. That's what Jesus was thinking about the night before Christmas. His thoughts were on you and I. Amen? Heaven had planned this. It wasn't no accident. It was something that was pre-planned, pre-organized. And this actually, text tells us, this was from a psalm written way before it happened about a conversation that Jesus had with God. Are you with me? It's a decision that was made. And the power of that over our lives, to stand here on a Christmas Eve understanding the power that you could have knowing that you have a Savior that has thought about you. He perfectly fulfilled God's will when no one else could do it. As a man, he died. As God, he bore the sins of the world. No one else could have done what Jesus did. No one. It wasn't like there was a queue on the night before Christmas, on Christmas Eve, going, "Oh, could someone do this? Is there an angel? Can we grab Gabriel? We've got one in the house here. Can you come and do this?" It wasn't like there was a queue of people that were willing to do it. It was the Son of God who said, "Hey, let's make this happen. Let's do this. I'm willing." I want to share a story. I found this story. It's amazing what you find when you Google. It's a great story. It's about Tsar Nicholas I of Russia. And I think it just depicts what Christ has done for us. Seems that the Tsar had a good friend who asked him to provide a job for his son. This the Tsar did, appointing the son as a paymaster for the barracks in the Russian army. However, it turned out that the son was morally weak and soon gambled away nearly all the money entrusted to him. When the word came that the auditors were going to examine his records, the young man despaired, knowing that he was certain to be found out. He calculated the amount he owed, and the total came to a huge debt, far greater than he could ever pay. He determined that night, before the auditors arrived, he would take his gun and commit suicide that night. He'd take his life. Before going to bed, he wrote out a full confession, listing all that he had stolen. Writing underneath it in these words, he wrote, "A great debt, who can pay?" Then he fell asleep, weary from his pain and anguish. Late that night, the Tsar himself paid a surprise visit to the barracks, as was his occasional custom. Seeing the light on, he peered into the room and found the young man asleep with a letter of confession next to him. He read the letter and instantly understood what had happened. He paused for a moment, considering what punishment to impose. Then he bent over and wrote one word on the paper and left. Eventually, the young man woke up, realizing that he had slept past midnight. Taking his gun, he prepared to kill himself when he noticed that someone had written something on the ledger. Under his words, "A great debt, who can pay?" he saw one word, "Nicholas." He was dumbfounded and then terrified when he realized that the Tsar knew what he had done. Checking his records, he found that the signature was genuine. Finally, the thought settled in his mind that the Tsar knew the whole story and was willing to pay the debt himself. Resting on the words of his commander-in-chief, he fell asleep. In the morning, a messenger came from the palace with the exact amount the young man owed. Only the Tsar could pay the debt, and he did. You know, when it comes to your sin, the night before Christmas, there was only one person who could pay the debt, and that was Jesus, the Son of God. So the whole of heaven on the night, on the Christmas Eve, the night before Christmas, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, Jesus steps forward, allows himself to be incarnated into a small baby. And the process of our redemption from sin and our forgiveness of sin and our reconnection and relationship with God began. 33 odd years later, Jesus steps up again, allows himself to be put on a cross, and allows himself to be killed, crucified for us. Because there was only one person that could pay that debt. Because our Heavenly Father demands perfection. And the only way for that debt to be paid was for someone to live in perfection. And that's Jesus Christ. Lived perfect. Life was taken. And that's why across this earth on a Christmas day, people celebrate, because we celebrate the greatest gift. And then we say something about tomorrow morning. We're going to wake up, and well, I've got a young five-year-old, and I'm sure she's going to be opening presents and be excited. But I want to ask you a question. Have you opened the greatest gift that's ever been given? And that's the gift of Jesus Christ. Have you opened your life to that? Have you? That's why Christmas is so powerful. That's why Christmas Eve is an anticipation. I only heard on the way here a story. In 1914, in the middle of World War I, where the Germans and the British were killing each other, mercilessly killing each other. On Christmas Eve, they started singing carols in the trenches. True story. And then suddenly, all the shelling and all the... And they started to come out of their trenches, and they actually decided to create an amnesty right there and then. And they started to, first of all, they removed the dead off the battlefield. And then they started exchanging gifts that they had made for each other. Can you believe this? The Germans and the British. And then they started singing carols together. And then they played a game of soccer. Apparently the Germans won 3-1. True story. And then hours later, after Christmas, they went back to killing each other. There's a power that's in Christmas, and that power is the name of Jesus. Amen? Yes. Talk about peace and goodwill to man. That Spirit of Christ rested on that battlefield at that time. And I'm just wondering, is the power of Christ in your life? Have you received the greatest gift? Just like my daughter at 5 is going to open a present on Christmas morning. The saddest thing is if that present sat there for years and years under a very dead tree by then, and she never opened it, she'd never know the gift that she had. Amen? The reality is you've got a gift in Jesus Christ. And all the earth knows it. Thousands of years people have stopped and celebrated the incredible gift of Christ. So just at the moment in this place, why don't we close our eyes in this place? And I just want to give you an opportunity on this Christmas Eve to receive the greatest gift of all. I could get the musicians to come up. Greatest gift of all. Maybe you just have never consciously accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never accepted what He's did for you personally. Maybe you've understood what He's done and you've read the stories, but it's never been something that you've prayed yourself personally. Never been something that you've acknowledged personally. Because friend, I've got to tell you, when it comes to Jesus, you can know all about Him, but you need to experience Him. You need to allow yourself to experience the life that He wants to give you. You need to open that gift by opening your heart and receiving what He's done for you. Like many of us in this room have. Maybe you're in this room today and you made a decision a while ago, but on this Christmas Eve, 2017, maybe it's time to acknowledge that you need to turn your life around and you need to head it back towards relationship with Christ. You need to head towards back to knowing Jesus and rededicate yourself again to Him. Or maybe for the very first time, I would hate anyone in this room if you've got any doubt about whether or not you are a Christian, whether or not you have accepted Christ. If you've got any doubt, you can actually leave this room knowing that you have an assurance of salvation, that eternity is yours, that you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'd love you to pray this prayer with me. And if you're praying this as a rededication or for the very first time, just pray it with all your heart. But I'm going to ask all our congregation who have prayed this many times, we're going to pray with you as well. Let's do it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept that you died on the cross for me. That your life was sacrificed to take away my sin. And I ask today for your forgiveness of my sins. And that you could flood my life with your grace and your mercy. And I accept today that eternity is placed in my heart. And as your Bible says, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That I am a Christian, which means Christ in me. I give you my heart, Jesus. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, just for a moment. Can I ask you to keep your eyes closed just for a moment? If you prayed that prayer as a rededication or the first time, come on, just lift up your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come out of your seat. We'll just get someone to acknowledge and chat with you afterwards. Just raise your hand. If you pray that as a rededication or for the first time, just lift your hand. Spirit of God. Oh, Jesus, we love you in this place. We acknowledge that some 2,000 years ago on Christmas Eve, You knew what you were doing. And you had every one of us on your mind. And we thank you for that gift, Jesus. We acknowledge today that you are the reason that the world stops at Christmas time. We acknowledge your grace and your mercy over our lives. And we want to tell you in this place that we love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Beautiful. Well, I'm going to change speed a little bit here. We're going to give out some lollies to kids. I'm just waiting for the team to get ready there. If you'd like to talk more about being a Christian, or please feel free to talk to one of us afterwards, or if you need prayer this time. But right now, it's a great presence of God in here. Do you feel it? It's beautiful. I'm just waiting for cues. Just talk amongst yourselves. Just ask each other what you're going to get for Christmas. Comes the little ones, don't kids make Christmas exciting? Don't you agree? I'm going to ask someone what they think they're getting for Christmas tomorrow. Hey, big guy, this one. What are you going to get for Christmas tomorrow?
I don't know.
You don't know? You do know. Who knows what they're going to get for Christmas tomorrow? This could be dangerous for the parents, right? But you've still got time.
A PS4.
Wow. Wow. I know they're on special at the moment, Mum and Dad, but anyway. All right, we need to do some yelling in this place. Are you ready to do some yelling? Are you ready? Ready on the count of three. We're going to yell out a name in this place. I'm pretty sure he's going to come. Ready on the count of three. One, two, three. That ain't going to do anything. Seriously busy this time of year. It's not going to do a thing. On the count of three. One more time. One, two, three. No? Okay. No, didn't work. So I think maybe the parents need to get involved. Are you ready? Parents, can you scream? I know you can because you do it at these kids regularly. So ready? On a count of three. One, two, three. All right. Wow. Look at them. Whoa. Yeah. Same bell. Fantastic. You're right there, Santa? Oh, okay, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, I know. Big time of year. Wow. Look at that. Yeah. You got to pull back on those cookies and milk there, Santa. And, you know, you can either go to fitness first, something like that. You know, you need to, yeah. It's all about being healthy. But he's doing well. So, How's it all looking? All prepped?
Yeah, ready to go this year. It's going to be a big one this year, 2017. Looking forward to it. A lot of chimno, not a back fence jumping and chimno going down the chimneys and all that sort of stuff. Another year, but I love it.
You love it? And the reindeer, they're all good? They're all good?
Yeah, they're all revved up, yeah. They've had plenty of...
What are their names, all of them?
Rudolph. And there's... Which one? Dancer, Prancer, and Fancy. Oh, the kids know.
You're quite connected to your reindeer. You guys have got a close bond. Is there one called Rudolph?
Yeah, Rudolph's my favourite. Yeah.
Large nose. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we've got some gifts. Yeah. Who wants some lollies? Okay, hold on. Who doesn't want some lollies? Okay. All right. Why don't you go there, Santa, and hand them out. Once again, sorry, parents. Lots of sugar. Extra sugar in those ones. Alright, why don't we stand to our feet? We're gonna wish you a Merry Christmas. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, everybody, sing it.
Here we go. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Good tidings.
Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Bring us a figgy pudding.
Bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding and a cup of good cheer. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding. Oh, bring us some figgy pudding and a cup of good cheer. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We wish
you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
One more time.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.